Hello and welcome to Uncharted Waters, a series of interviews and discussions with leading scientists, intellectuals, activists, and public figures on the defining issues of our time. I'm your host, Theo Cullen-Muse, and I'm an 18-year-old climate activist and writer from a small offshore island on Ireland's west coast. Today I'm joined by Saoirse McHugh, a former member of the Green Party, who ran as their candidate in the Midlands Northwest constituency in the 2019 European elections and in Mayo in the February 2020 general election. Saoirse is also a high-profile advocate for rural communities, sustainable agriculture, and climate action, who happens to live just across the water from me on Achill Island. We discussed the Green Party, Saoirse's reasons for joining it and for leaving it, and her views on everything from the philosophy of climate action to the US military presence in Shannon. This interview has been split into two parts, with the first episode focusing on the Green Party. Unfortunately, Saoirse's audio is slightly distorted at times during the interview due to a poor connection. Saoirse, you're very welcome to Uncharted Waters, and thank you so much for agreeing to do this interview with me. My first question for you is, what brought you into politics and specifically to the Green Party? And what was your background before that?
So how I got to it was kind of roundabout. My background had been, I suppose, in college. In my bachelor's, I did genetics. And in my master's, I did sustainable agriculture and food security. And what I had been doing, I suppose, between my master's and ending up running for politics was, I suppose, a whole load of different tries and fails, trying to get traction. I had done up a presentation on food sovereignty and food security, and I was going around to schools. I was, working with growers groups in Ireland, and constantly trying to find ways to get traction on environmental issues, specifically around agriculture. And I had started going to different TDs, asking them, particularly talking about food sovereignty, and particular opposition TDs. I was saying, like, if you know, because obviously what the opposition does can often shift the conversation, they can really have an effect. And it was talking to Eamon Ryan, he said, would you join the Green Party? Would you run for us? And I had never considered it. I had never thought I would run for election. I probably won't again. But I just figured, I suppose part of me was a bit, run out of ideas. I felt like I was getting nowhere. I didn't have a big network at the time I was living in Achill, of people who felt the same as me. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll give this a go. And while I might not get elected, at least the structure and format of an election might give me ways to network and to give me a platform to talk more about these different ideas. So it was never really like this grand plan, as those kind of things are. I just ended up falling into it. I did gain traction during the European elections. So then I was like, right, well, I'll try again, because I do think in the end it will take knocking on people's doors and talking to people about these sort of things. Especially because of the job our media doesn't do, especially around these issues. So yeah, that's how I kind of got into it. It was never a great, it was never like really structured in my head that I was going to try it.
And what was it about the Green Party that attracted you to them? I know you said that it was Eamon Ryan who approached you first and gave you the idea of running in the first place. But what made you feel like the Green Party was a good fit for your beliefs and your views?
Well, I had been in another party previously. I had tried to get involved. I had been in another party. I had volunteered to help with policy work. I had volunteered. I was like, give me anything, I will intern, just please, I really want input. And they weren't very receptive to it at all, and they had no environmental policies. I don't think they're doing much better now. And I suppose with the Greens, like, as you know, there's no real Green presence in Mayo at all, or there wasn't. And I was looking at their structures then. After I was approached, I kind of thought, okay, well, you know, it is laid down in the Green Party constitution that it's quite, you know, democratically led. The policy is created by the members. The executive has more power than the parliamentary party. So, and members have more power, really. And while in retrospect, that's quite naive and not actually how it works out, I was quite excited about that, because I was like, okay, well, this is, you know, an immediate way to make policy and to be able to impact you know, a party's position, which in turn, you know, could have these kind of snowballing effects across other parties. So yeah, maybe it was a bit of naivety, but also their structure.
I know, obviously, you've since left the Green Party, and I think that, as you said, maybe naivete, I would have been like you and believe that the Green Party would do better than they have done. I think that's not so much naivete, but maybe just hope in people. But yeah, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your reasons for leaving. And I know some people have stayed in the Green Party, the Just Transition Greens group, and there's a number of people still in the party who I think have quite a good moral foundation. So what was your rationale for leaving and for making a break with the Greens?
Well, I had thought of leaving several times before for quite, I suppose, personal issues. Like people are just not that nice. There were clear power struggles within the party that were quite ugly, and there was like a deep there's like there's quite there seems to be quite a an anti-left sort of kind of faction within the Greens that, you know, if you talk at all about anything like capitalism, like the pushback, for instance, I've gotten in the Greens from talking about capitalism, which I'm saying, like, I'm like, lads, the Green Party, come on, like. There's quite a vicious reaction to talking about things like that. So I had considered leaving before, but I had kept kind of saying, no, you know, I'll hold off. I'll see if we can keep them, if we can keep the party out of coalition with this program for government specifically. You know, we'll have time over the next few years to cement the direction of the party. And, you know, all the time I was, you know, being hopeful and hoping for the best. In the end, it was the program for government. Like, you know, a lot of the parliamentary party were just, and it's awful to say, but they were just lying to the membership about what was in it. Like, it was just outright lies. And it was a really poor program for government. And then, you know, on top of that, the discussion over it was quite vicious. So, for instance, you know, I would say, well, these are completely inadequate targets. Why are you even going in negotiating with that? That's not how negotiation works. And you would get like a real kickback about compromise and all this stuff. And I'm like, lads, compromise isn't the end goal. The end goal is an adequate response to environmental breakdown. But I just found that the program for government that was agreed on was atrocious. There was nothing redeeming in it. A lot of what was, you know, publicized by the parliamentary party as green wins either A, weren't new, like, you know, were already either coming down the tracks from European law or a pre-existing Fine Gael commitment, or were not actually in the program for government at all, like the LNG thing. We were like, yeah, but it's not in there that we're going to commit to not building any more, building LNG terminals. And it passed, and it passed by such a big majority. I was just like, right, obviously, I have completely mistaken the heart of the Green Party, or the majority. And I do believe a lot of people were misled. But even with that, I was like, this is not what I agree with at all.
Yeah, I know that in the discussion around the programme for government, there were a number of people that I respect quite a bit. And their views were that, you know, this is the best that we're going to get. That if the Greens don't go into government, then that we're going to end up with another election. And it's going to be Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and, you know, the rural independents or something. What's your view on that? Do you think that this was the best that we could have gotten? Do you think there was a viable alternative of a left-wing government? Would a second election even have been preferable to this?
Yeah, and I think that sort of selective fortune-telling is a terrible reason, because this is what I said to so many people. I'm like, yes, but we're not being asked to vote on a hypothetical other future. We're being asked to vote, is this program for government good enough? And it wasn't. And, you know, that came up several times. I had people I used to respect saying similar things like, oh, but, you know, there's no other alternative. And, you know, you'd list off the alternatives I could imagine. And they'd be like, no, no other alternative except the rural independence. And now I look at it and I'm like, well, what difference would it have made, to be perfectly fair? You know, if the Greens are voting the same way the rural independents are voting, it doesn't really matter to me who, you know, what party they say they're in. And I think, yeah, the whole thing just became really quite poisonous and toxic, and it was impossible to have a proper conversation about it. Like, I've often thought since, you know, when things that we knew would happen, like the terrible climate bill, like the forestry thing, like the forestry licensing bill, and I'll see people who really supported the program for government shocked, and I'm like, what did you think we were saying? Like, why do you, like, did you think we were just looking for attention? Like, this is what we said it wasn't good enough. And I've often thought about that, even in terms of strategy. So say I desperately want to go into government. Surely you could leverage the discontent that was there in the Greens for a better deal, instead of, you know, attacking people who are fighting for the same thing you're fighting for, but just have, I suppose, maybe differences in opinion in how you can get there. But that just didn't happen. So,
yeah, I had felt that there would have been maybe the possibility of a really strong push from the Green Party that if they were going to go into government, that they secure all of these things. And obviously, once we saw the program for government, it was clear that that wasn't going to happen. But this feeling that there was no other option, especially I think for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, I know at the time that the government formation talks were happening, Sinn Féin was polling at around 35%. So that was 10 or 15 points ahead of Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. So I would have felt that if Eamon Ryan had gone into those negotiations and given a long list of things and said, if we don't get every single one of these things, then you don't have a government, that could have been a very strong negotiating position. And of course, that's not how it worked out. And I wanted to talk a little bit about Eamon Ryan, actually, because I think you know him better than I do. And my view before this whole government fiasco was that he was, you know, a perfectly decent person, but perhaps not as radical or as ambitious as I would have liked. But I'd like to hear your view on Mr. Minister Ryan.
I think in the end, Minister Ryan is a conservative man. And I think, so like what you were saying there about going in negotiating, saying we want these or nothing, I don't think Minister Ryan wanted those things. I think in the end, he wanted to go into government. And I think there does seem to be and Eamon's included in this, amongst a certain group in the Greens, and some have left the Greens now and just are, you know, environmentalists, are like well-known environmentalists, there seems to be quite a lot of gatekeeping in that what may have been progressive 40 years ago is no longer progressive. And that's fine. You know, it happens to all of us. I'm sure, like, I often think, what's going to be, what will I have to, you know, recalibrate my values to in a few years? And I think there's quite a kickback against, well, like, because it was Tóir na Míle as well, I've been doing this for 50 years, and I'm like, yeah, well done. Like, I appreciate that, and I'm not undermining that. What I'm saying, though, is we need more now. You know, this isn't 50 years ago. We don't have time. I think Eamon Ryan is probably one of, like, I know everyone laughs at him, but I can't think of a more successful politician. He managed to both ride a wave and then immediately undercut it, so it had no more power once he was in government. Like, he has managed quite successfully to push out the biggest threat to him, I suppose. He was involved with one of the most unpopular governments we've ever had, you know, the Fianna Fáil Greens crash government, and yet be re-elected. And I think he has constantly managed to, you know, override the party policies, go against the executive, all of these things, and just is untouchable. So I do, like, he's far more politically nimble than he appears. Like, I've had people say to me, oh, he's some fool. And I'm like, is he though? Because he's exactly where he wants to be, despite it being a terrible, like, he's managed to basically convince the entire Greens membership to just adopt Fine Gael policies, but worse in some cases. And I suppose I'm annoyed by myself at how maybe foolish I was, or trusting in a lot of ways. I've come out on the wrong side of Eamon before. I remember talking about carbon taxes, saying I didn't agree with them, which they weren't Green Party policy at the time, but anyway. And like getting phoned the next day by several of them, including Eamon, like really angry at me, being like, you ruined everyone's chances, like all of this stuff. And I was in floods. I was so upset. Or somebody very high up, I won't exactly say he, I don't know, is it in the papers or not, tried to unilaterally suspend Lorna Bogue. And yet, you know, when these things happen and people are like, oh, you can't do that, it's like, oh, okay. And then that's it. So, like, I think he's a deeply, deeply conservative man who really hates the left. Like, I've had conversations with him. I had really a really weird one once, way before the general election, where he was trying to convince me to go into coalition with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael after I'd said I never would. And like, it wasn't even on the table. And he was saying to me, but you know, and I hadn't brought up Sinn Féin or PPP at all. I hadn't brought up any of this. He goes, PPP and Sinn Féin's 2016 manifesto were to extract more fossil fuels. And I was like, yeah, but Fine Gael are currently doing it. Like, you know, PPP. And he goes, oh, they don't mean that. Like, okay, so they're doing it, but they don't mean it. And PPP have changed their position, but they do. You know, almost like this hasn't got to do with policy at all, Eamon. I suppose my opinion of him is he's exactly where he wants to be. And I do think he has done quite a lot of damage to environmentalism in Ireland. Now, I am hopeful that this time round, the Greens in government, because last time round, there weren't platforms like Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, they weren't as big. So the narrative was much more controlled by the newspapers. Like, I do hope that, I suppose, the diversification of media prevents prevents people being put off environmentalism because of the Greens. And I think that will happen.
I've heard the Green Party being described as Fine Gael on bikes. Do you think that's a fair assessment of where they are at the moment?
Except more dishonest. Like, at least Fine Gael, you know what you're getting. Fine Gael are like, we love cars and we love, we hate the environment. And the Greens are like, we love the environment. We're just going to enact everything the same as Fine Gael, which is a really weird position to take, but whatever. I do think it's fair. Unfortunately, I think it's a very fair assessment. Like, I can't, I look at the Green, I look at the program for government, I look at the Greens, and I'm like, what are they bringing that wouldn't happen anyway, you know?
Just one more question, I think, on the Green Party, and then we'll move on to other topics. There's only so much bashing of them that we can do. But my view was at the last election that their results, returning their highest ever number of TDs, their best ever vote share in an election, that was directly related to this climate strikes that happened the year before that we organized in Dublin and around the country. On September 20th, over 30,000 people in Ireland took to the streets. And I think that directly influenced people's views and the way that they voted in the February election. And I think that directly benefited the Greens. But we in Fridays for Future have been very clear that moving forward, the Green Party, we're not a youth wing of the Green Party. We very much do not support what they've been doing in government. We didn't support them beforehand, but even more so now. And I think that people will see through them. So where do you see them going in the next election? Do you think that they're going to be locked out of the Dáil for the rest of time, or do they have a future in politics?
I don't think they have a future as any sort of real representation of environmentalism in politics. I think a few of them, and this is, I suppose, one of the issues with our voting system, is that if you're a good constituency TD, regardless of what you believe in, you can get elected again. So I think a few of them will be elected again. I'd say they might get three, maybe four seats next time around. But I think people voting for the environment in the future just won't bother with the Greens. Now, they might get, I think they'll continue to get like the soft Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael vote, who is kind of like, oh, we should do something for the environment, but doesn't actually want to engage really with this. But, I think you're right. I think a huge amount of the votes came from the kind of raised awareness that everyone in Ireland, that worldwide people have about, environmental breakdown. And that has a lot to do, there's a huge amount to do in Ireland with the school strikes. And I just think they'll have lost all credibility in terms of being somewhere reasonable for an environmentalist to put a vote. Because I do think, like, they take this idea of environmentalism, and they make people feel like they've done something. And a lot of people voted Green for the first time ever, and I suppose while that would be getting on to talking about voting and like how a state should be structured, that did mean a lot to a lot of people. For the first time ever, they were like, right, I will put down a vote based on the environment. And like, that energy isn't going away, but I'd be shocked if it went to the Greens again. It's not like they have great comms, or it's not like they have a great comms system. I think, yeah, I think we'll just see them with three or four seats in the future, maybe propping up Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, but just kind of sidelined, because unfortunately environmentalism and the need for it isn't going away. It's only getting stronger. So yeah, I'd be shocked if they maintained any sort of legitimacy.
I think the other main thing that happened in the last election was more broadly that left-wing parties, they weren't victorious, but there was a huge swing in support for them, depending upon if you see Sinn Féin as truly a left-wing party, but just in general. So what I've been wondering, at the moment, none of the left-wing parties, Sinn Féin or any of the small ones, the Social Democrats, Labour, People Before Profit, none of these parties really have a truly progressive climate action policy. So what I wanted to ask you was whether you see that changing, whether you see any of the current left-wing parties adopting truly progressive climate policy, or a new party emerging that fills up that space. And secondly, whether you think that party politics will ever be able to deliver truly ambitious climate action in Ireland.
I suppose I think that all of those other parties that you mentioned would be foolish not to come up with a more progressive, like, it's such an open goal. And so I had been a member of Sinn Féin, and this is what I had been trying to push way back, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, because that's what I was saying. I was saying there's no truly progressive environmental policy in Irish politics. And like I was even saying, you know, why you could have like a backbone environmental policy below, like that would be the umbrella policy over everything. And, you know, everything else could come from that. So I'd be surprised if the Sock Dems, if PVP didn't go for it. I can't see it flying with Sinn Féin. I think Sinn Féin has a much bigger problem in that they have a huge spectrum of voters voting for them. Like if you look at Sinn Féin Mayo, I was canvassed by a climate change denier for Sinn Féin. I was like, I don't think it's fake, actually. And he was telling me it was a hoax. And I was like, uh-huh. Is this Sinn Féin policy? Like, And I think rural, urban, and maybe it's not solely rural, urban, but there's definitely a massive divide in Sinn Féin that I think they will struggle to bridge, especially with what's needed for climate action. I don't know if they'd touch it. And I don't, unfortunately, you know, the current government is doing so poorly, I don't think they have to yet. But I'd be really surprised if the Sock Dems and the PPP didn't go to fill that space. Similarly, I'd also be really surprised if a new Green Party didn't start, like a proper kind of, we are committed to fair environmental action. And I think that could take a lot of votes. Like, because I do wonder, I suppose I'd be interested to see what Sinn Féin do over the next few years, because they have a huge amount of left-wing votes and they have a huge amount of like quite reactionary right-wing votes. And it'll be difficult to balance that. My brother was saying, like, all they need is like show trials for insurance CEOs and stuff. And it's like, that would just keep all of us happy. And then as to whether I think party politics will ever, you know, take appropriate action, I don't know. I really don't think so. Like, you know, when you get down to what is the root of environmental collapse here, and it is, you know, it's capitalism, and our states are created, you know, in order to protect property and protect the accumulation of capital. And so I do wonder, like, how far could a party go? So say you got a really progressive party, you know, got a majority in government, like, how far could they go towards real climate action before they had to start eating themselves, if you get me? And yeah, there's loads of thinkers who write on this, but I do think there's a load that can be done before we even have to get to those questions. What I do wonder though is, you know, if you start down a certain track, do you lock yourself into the limits of your action, the limits of what can be done? And I don't know.
Just about a new sort of Green Party that would have truly left-wing values. I know that's something that in a number of other countries exists, Switzerland and Netherlands, and the Netherlands being the examples that come to mind. But would that be something in an Irish context that you'd see yourself getting involved in, or are your days of being involved in politics over?
I'm not sure. I suppose I look at the amount of time and energy that goes into parties, and I understand it. Like, it's it's a really clear-cut way to have an impact. But like we were just talking about, I wonder how far they can go. And I definitely think, so say we get a new proper left-wing Green Party in Ireland, I think we could take massive strides before needing to come to the existential kind of questions of like, okay, well, what about property? What about things like that? So I don't know if, like right now, immediately this second, I think I wouldn't get involved in another party, but I can't rule it out forever. I imagine if I were to take an educated guess, I would imagine that if there's an alternative Green Party set up, a lot of my friends would be involved. So I could imagine myself at least canvassing for them. But I don't know, would I ever run myself?
That was Saoirse McHugh, speaking about her journey in politics and the failings of the Irish Green Party. This is part one of a two-part series. The next episode will be coming in a few weeks' time. Until then, thank you for listening to Uncharted Waters.